This is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace on this Monday, and great to be with you. We've had a fantastic conference here in Rochester over the weekend, and I'm still here actually heading home today, not too long after I finish the show here, and we're talking about love in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but a specific phrase, in love, the phrase in love, it occurs 6 times in this letter. It occurs in Ephesians 1:4, 3:17, 4:2, 4:15, 4:16, and Ephesians 5:2. We're going to look at these occurrences. Today we're going to look at two of them in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and Ephesians 5:2. We're going to look at the first and last occurrence, and there's a reason for that. But let me remind you what love is again. Let's define it. And we defined it last week from the Greek-English keyword concordance, page 186. The Greek word for love means this. It's a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. It's to be distinguished from affection or fondness, which is aroused by the qualities of its object, while love may go out to the utterly unworthy. Now, the first time we see this phrase in love in Ephesians is in the first part of chapter 1, verse 4. Let's look at it. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, we read this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word blessed means to speak well of. We're bragging about God here. The mature letter of the Ephesians letter, it's a letter of maturity, starts off not with asking God to do anything or praying for something specific for yourself. It starts off with pure speaking well about God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight. So here in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, we learn about God's plan to bless us, members of the body of Christ, among the celestials. Never before the Apostle Paul do we ever read of a company of God's saints who will be blessed among the celestials. It was well known that saints will be blessed on earth, but never among the celestials. But God chose us before the disruption of the world that we should be holy and flawless in his sight. In other words, we're going to be suitable to that celestial sphere. And then he goes on for his motive. Why did God do this? In love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will for the laud of the glory of his grace, which graces us in the beloved. It was God's great motive was love. In love he designated us, members of the body of Christ, beforehand for the place of a son. That term sonship, I can open up a whole nother, go down a whole nother rabbit trail here in explaining this, but I have to stick to the topic. It was the Father's motive. It was his love. In love, he designated us for the place of his son. Essentially, that means that we, as the body of Christ, are going to have a role among the celestials, like Israel has on the earth among the nations. We are a select group among the celestials. We are heaven's aristocracy. And why are we? Because we're great? No, because it was in the Father's love. It was in love he designated us. And remember what love is again? It's a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. Holy cow! Did God ever please and promote our welfare by giving us this place among the celestials? And remember, love goes out to the utterly unworthy on many occasions, and that is true of us. God took us, the unworthy ones, and made us the future rulers of the celestial regions. Now, the last occurrence of this phrase in love in Ephesians is found in chapter 5. In Ephesians 1:4, it was the Father's motive for blessing us. Now in Ephesians 5, look at this. Verse 1, "Become then imitators of God as beloved children, and be walking in love, according as Christ also loves you and gives himself up for us in a reproach present and a sacrifice to God for a fragrant odor." So, in Ephesians 1:4, what is the Father's great motive? Love. And the Father's motive now becomes the children's walk. That's the motivating factor in our walk. We imitate our God and Father. Just like in his love, he gave us this great position among the celestials. Now we imitate Father and we walk in love. We become imitators of God. And in Ephesians 4:32, we got to connect all this because he tells us to, in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us, let all bitterness and fury and anger and clamor and calumny, I think that's how you pronounce that word, be taken away from you. Let all of it, not just some of it. You and I are blessed with all spiritual blessings. So why not, let's take all bitterness and fury and anger and clamor and calumny, let it be taken away from you with all malice, yet become kind to one another. Remember, the word kind means useful, tenderly compassionate, dealing graciously among yourselves, according as God also in Christ deals graciously with you. Become then imitators of God as beloved children and be walking in love. The Father's motive is the children's motive. Our Father, in his love, blessed us the utterly unworthy. And so may we imitate our Father, and may we be walking in love as we deal with others. Let us love the family of God, and let us love all humanity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's end with this prayer. The Apostle Paul says this, "Now may the Lord cause you to increase and superabound in love for one another and for all, even as we also for you." Well, this is Dan Sheridan. It was great to be with you today. This is a great topic. We'll continue it on it tomorrow. Pray for me as I go home today from New York and hit the road again here in a day or two, heading down to Birmingham, Alabama for a conference there. Also going to see some saints on the way as meet with some more scattered and isolated people on the way down. I'm actually driving and seeing some people on the way, stopping at rest stops. It's going to be quite a journey this week as I head to Alabama. So anyways, pray for those trips. I hope you're going to be there. The conference is this weekend, this Saturday in Birmingham, Alabama. Go to SheridanVoice.com under conferences and speaking engagements for the details. I hope you see you there that this coming weekend. Let me just say this. It's worth it. After having spent time in Rochester with the saints here, it is refreshing. God has made us in such a way that we need each other. You can't love others unless you're in their presence. Let me repeat that. You can't love others unless you're in their presence. You have to somehow get in their presence and get to know them and know what's going on in their lives and laugh and weep with them. Well, that's all I have time for. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as is revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.